This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here we go, y'all. Welcome in. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thrilled to be here. A wild, wild day of sports action on a Monday. We've got a lot to get into. We've got to look at when it comes to tomorrow. But let's get some particulars out of the way as it as a part of tonight's program. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we're going to check in over at the Westgate with Arthur DeCesar. He works behind the book there. Get some thoughts on this Stanley Cup Final Game 3 between Florida and Edmonton. Under 5 minutes to go. Panthers up 5-1. The only thing that hangs in the balance would be the total, which sits at 6.5 right now. I do not see any pulled goalies at the moment with a 4-goal lead for Florida at home. So I don't know if we're going to get that 7th goal and cash the over. Coming up in about an hour, 15 minutes, we'll go north of the border, find out what this means for the Oilers. You know, Canada hasn't won a cup since 93 with the Canadiens. Kirk Muller's not walking through that door, people. My guy, Chris Ruffalo, he does handicapping up there. We'll talk hockey with him. We'll talk a little bit of Major League Baseball. And then 1 p.m. Eastern time, you know him from the Sports Gambling Podcast, Sean Green will join the program. And he says he's got an NBA prop for Wednesday's Oklahoma City, Indiana Pacers game on a player that he's all in on. You don't want to miss that conversation. And then 1:30 on the East Coast, Greg Peterson, you know him, G-Unit. He's got the MLB card all broken down for us. So as those lines continue to populate throughout the night, I'll have some plays. But Greg is one of the best when it comes to handicapping Major League Baseball. And he'll have a million bets that he will hand out towards the end of the program. But where we stand right now here with this Game 3 between the Panthers and Oilers, I mean, think about this. Game 2 goes to overtime. Florida, if they don't win that one, think about the situation we're in, right? Where they could potentially be coming back into their building for this game and they were down 0-2. Instead, now they're going to go up 2-1 following today because with 4:13 to go, there's no prayers that are going to help the Edmonton Oilers at this point where, full disclosure, I backed them at a plus price. It had nothing to do with situation. It had nothing to do with X's and O's. It had nothing to do with Jimmy's and Joe's. It had to do with the fact that I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched. So unless they're going to make it minus 110, if I can get a plus price on any of these teams in any of these games, I'm going to look for opportunities to back them because I do believe, despite the score tonight, I think games 1 and 2 more indicative of the way this series is going. It's going to be an old school brawl. We're going to go 7 games here. And because of that, if I get a plus price on Edmonton to come back and even the series at 2-2, I will absolutely do that in game 4 coming up. But right now, we are sweating out. For those of you who have the over, you are just hoping for one to get by one of these goalies. And unfortunate for you, Stuart Skinner is no longer a net for the Edmonton Oilers because my God, was he leaky. And that's the story of Skinner. There's moments where you're going, man, this guy's a legit goalie. He's going to win us a cup one day, and we don't have a goal. Never mind. One gets by Picard, and we cash the over there. So those of you holding those tickets, you get there with 3 minutes and 50 seconds to go. Looks like Rodriguez punched it in, and that is the 6th goal for the Florida Panthers. Let me get you the numbers, what the odds were for Evan Rodriguez. He was plus 350 to score a goal tonight. Man, that is another big, if you did any time goal scorer bets on these Panthers for tonight's game, Brad Marchand opened things up. He was 18-1 to be the first goal scorer, plus 280 for any time. Bennett, Reinhardt at plus 195 each. Verhage, I don't know how to say his name, full disclosure. I think I kind of nailed it. Plus 210. Ekblad, plus 750. And now you have Rodriguez at plus 350. Please tell me someone's got a parlay out there with like two or three of those guys at those big plus prices. I want to see it. Give us a tweet. VSiN Live, Dustin Sweetelson. I want to see your winning tickets on this game as well because I'm shocked at the score. I thought there would be goals, but I was expecting some more drama. I was expecting a back and forth game. But from the jump, it's been all Florida. It's been a really impressive performance coming back home in this spot because, look, they split the first two of this series, which was massive because they went into overtime. But coming back home, I didn't think home ice was going to matter all that much with all the firepower that Edmonton has. I like Florida to win the series, but I thought Edmonton was going to push them, and I really thought this was a coin flip series. This is a statement from Florida. This is a massive, massive win in a game where we've seen 15 power plays, by the way. I believe 16 now because I'm seeing one on the screen. 16 power plays in a Stanley Cup final game. That is unheard of. And I'm curious how this shifts the markets because a few things did occur during this game. And one of them was a change in the Conn Smythe odds. Let me get you the most updated number here. If I can unclick some things on my computer. Don't worry, Bill AD. They're all work appropriate, all the things I'm looking at on my computer. Right now, your Conn Smythe Trophy winner favorite would be one Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett opened on June 1st, 30, 33 to 1, depending where you shop. He's now the favorite at plus 175. Why? With a goal tonight, helping Florida with this 6-1 lead, he now has 4 goals through 3 games in the series. He's rightly priced currently as the favorite. The question is, how long do these numbers stay the same? Because I'm looking at DraftKings right now, and Connor McDavid's plus 250. And if Edmonton has a miraculous comeback on the shoulders of the best player in the league, and McDavid can use that storyline to his favorite, is 250 enough to get in on him with his team down 2-1? It feels like a pretty good price. Meaning that it's something I have to consider right now if I was going to dive into this Conn Smythe Award market. Bennett, your favorite, plus 175. McDavid at plus 250, followed by Marchand at 4-1. We did cash, VSiN.com/picks. Second game in a row, I had Brad Marchand to go over a half a point. Look, he's a veteran, 37 years old. He's brought in to the Florida Panthers specifically for this type of series to get them over the hump, to teach these guys what it takes to be champions. And he stepped up a few times. And his goal on Skinner was a tough one for Skinner. However, a couple of the next goals that Stuart Skinner gave up, they were just unacceptable, man. I mean, the breakaway was a tough one, but then there was two back-to-back blocker side, where I don't think he really knew where he was in accordance with the net. He wasn't quite matched up right. And two guys for Florida went top shelf over the blocker. And you just never saw him looking confident. And Florida was super aggressive to start. That was the thing that really impressed me. Is in a game like this with the series tied up at ones, Florida came out and the puck very early on was in Edmonton's end over and over again. They got a ton of shots on net. And then once one went through, it seemed like his confidence was shook, Stuart Skinner. He was never going to recapture what we saw a few series ago. And now Knobloch's got a big predicament on his hand because does he stick with Skinner, who following his benching a couple series ago did step up, or do you roll with Calvin Picard here because Picard may give you the best chance to win? I hate seeing it for a guy like Skinner who stepped up in some crucial series, especially late in them for the Edmonton Oilers. But I think there's too much on the line for Edmonton to take advantage of this opportunity to let a guy go out there who just does not have his confidence at this point in time, where if you lose the next game and you're down 3-1, it's going to take a historic effort to come back and win this thing. I'm not so sure we're going to see Stuart Skinner come game 4. This is Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you for the next 3 hours here on the program, where we have a lot to dive into. I've got a little mano-a-mano where we're going to look at Tuesday's MLB card and see the lefty-righty batter versus pitcher matchups that jump out to us. Also, we'll also do 3 up, 3 down, an old tried and true favorite from back in the day on Sharp Money, RIP, pour one out, where I tell you who's hot, who's not, as we get ready to play some wagers in Major League Baseball. Also, we need to have a discussion about the MVP markets. I understand that there's two favorites who are absolutely unbettable at this point, but I need to know, are there opportunities to back a couple guys who are having monster seasons this year where the price is worth the possibility of the bet losing? We'll do that later on in the program as well. But first, I got to tell you about a great offer we have going on here at VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. All you got to do is use the promo code BOOK. You know what you'll get? You'll get one of my favorite people in the sports betting space, our very own Josh Applebaum. His second book is coming out, the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. All you got to do, promo code BOOK at VSiN.com/subscribe. It'll be part of your VSiN subscription. And it's a great deal. It's a great offer. And what do you get with that? Well, you get the daily newsletter from Bill AD. Are you looking to aggregate your life on a day-to-day basis? Want to know what matters in sports, what matters in betting? Don't worry. Bill AD's got it covered for you with the newsletter. You want best bets from every single show across the network? Guests, hosts, writers? It's part of the package as well. Also, the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. You'll get two different perspectives to see where the money's going nationwide. And of course, 24/7 video access to the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide, which drops on July 1st. I'm doing the math right now. It's June 9th. I have not done my research. I do not have my bets yet. I will pat myself on the back and acknowledge that a year ago I did have the Eagles over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in that NFL betting guide. What do I have for the next one? You're going to have to get this to find out, because I don't actually know yet either. Don't miss out on this offer right now. It's for a limited time. $199 plus a free order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook from Josh Applebaum. VSiN.com/subscribe. Promo code is book. Man, I'm so pumped to be here, people. I hope you're ready to win some bets, because that's the goal here. We want to win bets. That's why the name of the show is Cashing Out. I know some people think cashing out in terms of people cashing out for the night and going to sleep. No. We're awake. We're well caffeinated, and we've got winners on the way. In order to find them for tomorrow, we do have to recap what happened today. What did we learn from Major League Baseball from Monday's slate? We'll dissect it when we return. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it. It is Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This, of course, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you making us part of your day, wherever you may be. SiriusXM Channel 158, the VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV, a million ways to watch. Be a part of the show at VSiN Live, at Dustin Sweetelson. We've got it all covered tonight. The hockey game has finally ended. I can't believe 140 penalty minutes in a Stanley Cup final game is absolutely craziness. And we do have odds for Thursday as far as it comes to game four in the series, where rinse and repeat. If you're the books and it worked tonight, and donks like me are taking that plus price in the Oilers in this situation back in Sunrise, Florida, they're doing more of the same shenanigans. Over at DraftKings, I'm looking right now, and the Florida Panthers open -148 favorites, and the Oilers plus $1.24, and that total sitting at 6.5. We did barely get there with the over today. Took all three periods down to the final few minutes, but the over cashes, the Panthers on the puck line cash at a -goal.5 plus 170, and -140, 143 I saw out there late in the day. That ends up being the winners as far as the Stanley Cup final goes. And I did mention in the first segment, Sam Bennett, your new favorite as far as it comes to the Conn Smythe, where Connor McDavid's ticked up to plus 250. I think if you believe Edmonton's coming back and winning, it's because there's some McDavid magic up his sleeve. I think that's a playable number. I think it's an interesting playable number. And based on what we've seen him do in the past, like winning the award on a losing team, I would not count that guy out. As far as Major League Baseball goes, we do have three games currently ongoing. A check-in eighth inning in Anaheim, and the Angels on top of the Athletics 4-0. Right now, in-game total is 4.5. Bit frustrating as I handicap this game, expecting Jeffrey Springs to start this one, the lefty. Last minute, for whatever reason, the A's decide to use him as a bulk reliever, and they start Grant Holman, which really messed with my handicap, as I had a couple props on Taylor Ward and Logan Ohapi to go over their total bases. Now, they're still going to get a bunch of at-bats on Spring, who's in the game right now. I just saw him leaving the mound. But a little frustrating when you handicap expecting those early at-bats in the contest, and they go out the window. But Taylor Ward should still see Springs, I think, one more time here. And that guy's been red hot all year. You have to anticipate him and Kikuchi, who's on the bump right now. Let me give you Kikuchi's numbers because he's having a really good year. They'll likely be on the trading block for postseason teams that are looking for extra pieces to put them over the hump. Kikuchi tonight, 7 innings, 1 hit, 4 strikeouts. For the Angels, no runs allowed through 7. Brilliant performance. His ERA is sub 3, 2.93 as of right now on June 9th. Kikuchi's a weird guy. I remember years ago, he was Fade City when he was with Toronto. I don't know what he figured out, if it was playing in the dome, what it was, but he was a guy who was at a high ERA, and you just find those big right-handed bats, lineups that were dominant like that, they would just beat him up. But for whatever he's done later in his career, he's become a really good starter, and the Angels might get a nice little prospect haul for him at some point during the season. Other games currently going on. The Padres and the Dodgers. San Diego leads 6-5 in San Diego, minus 170. If you like the Padres, plus $1.30 on the Dodgers in the fifth inning. We've had 11 runs, and the book expects a lot more. 15.5 is your in-game total. Currently sweating out a bet that, nope, it did not cash. We were on Nick Pivetta over 17.5 outs. That is a big, fat loser. It's one of those frustrating bets where you start to go into it thinking, you know what? I don't know if Pivetta can handle this Dodger lineup. And then I went back and saw his track record. He has really good numbers against LA, which blew my mind because Pivetta's been like an analytical darling, guys that the guys in the front office seem to like with the way he uses his breaking stuff, but never has had that breakthrough season as a pitcher. He's been really good this year, and he's been really consistent of pitching 6 innings. So I thought we'd get there at over 17.5 outs. He does not. He's out of the game. Matsui is in the fifth. And the Padres do lead, though, 6-5. So he's on the hook for the win there. And then the other game still going on right now. The Diamondbacks, led by Merrill Kelly, who may have figured something out in his last start where he was awesome. He's been awesome again against the Seattle Mariners. Right now, with Arizona up 2-0, minus 535 on Arizona, plus 351 the other way on Seattle. In-game total 5.5. I'd go under on that 5.5. I don't respect the Seattle Mariners offense outside of one player who we'll discuss later in a segment I want to try out called Donation or Dangerous. You can tell me if the bet is a donation to the sportsbook and casino or if it's dangerous, if it has a little bit of life, a little bit of juice here. But I don't think Seattle's doing much scoring, and Arizona right now, 2-0 lead. I don't know how much more they tack on. We did cash on that one. VSiN.com/picks again for all the picks from every show. I put mine up there way earlier in the day. Corbin Carroll over 2.5 hits, runs, and RBI. He hit a home run. So we end up cashing that one tonight. Josh Naylor, we need one more hit to go over his 1.5 total bases. And on a hope and a prayer, Pavin Smith can come through for us. That might have been a stretch. I might have went too deep in my bag for that one and tried to get too cute. But still got plenty of baseball left as we're in the sixth inning and the Arizona Diamondbacks lead 2-0. It's cashing out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's quickly look back at some of the action from earlier today, let you know what tickets cashed, what did not. Of course, the name of the show is Cashing Out, so I thought it was apropos that we do that. Cincinnati Reds won 7-4 over the Cleveland Guardians as plus 141 dogs. The game goes over the total at 8.5. Friedel, Fraley, both homers for Cincinnati. Wade Miley on the bump for the Reds, and they get the win over Cleveland and Ortiz. The Yuri Perez return finally upon us with the Miami Marlins. Results the same for the Miami Marlins with whoever's on the bump. They lose to the Pirates. Pirates score 10 runs. 10-3, they win over Miami. Perez, 4 earned in 3 innings. McCutcheon with an RBI, 3-for-5. Reynolds drove in 3. And somewhere Paul Skeens is going, hey, guys, hook a brother up with a few runs here and there. Maybe I could get some wins on the old box score on the Topps card. Make me look a little bit better, but the Pirates get the win over the Marlins. It was the Phillies, minus 144 favorites, taking down the Chicago Cubs. Final score, 4-3 in 11 innings. Game does stay under the 7.5 total. Zach Wheeler gets the win coming off of paternity leave. Had a child. Congratulations to the Wheeler family. He goes 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 7 strikeouts. I'm curious to see where his number is as far as the National League Cy Young goes after this start. He's always in the mix. He's always super short. At some point in the season, he'll get down to like 3-1. It's unbettable. I think if he's like plus 650 or greater, it could be worth a flyer. I know it feels like Paul Skenes' award, and it feels like Scooble's award in the AL, but we see pitchers go down all the time with injuries. I know it's not your favorite way of handicapping, rooting for an injury for the favorite for reward, especially when it's like two guys having historic starts right now with Scooble and Skenes over the last couple seasons that are on incredible runs. But I just see it as opportunities with how often stud power pitchers get injured. I think a guy like Wheeler, who, say whatever you want about today's pitcher, he's a rare breed. He throws 200 innings. He stays healthy. And I think we reach a point with a guy like him at this point in his career where you just have to figure he understands what it takes for his arm and his body to be good to go for a full season. That's why I think he could be in the mix, and the number at plus 650 or greater could be worthy. Let's see. The Braves snapped a 7-game winning streak with Chris Sale on the hill. Minus 182 was Atlanta on the money line against the Brewers. I did take the plus price with Milwaukee at plus 143. Was excited when they jumped out to a 1-0 lead, but by the fourth or fifth inning, Atlanta started to pile on the runs. Matt Olson, who's gotten really hot of late, hit a homer. Ronald Acuna Jr., Oppo Taco for 400 feet. Braves are victorious, and that game goes over the 7.5 as Atlanta won 7-1. And then the Blue Jays. Blue Jays beat the Cardinals 5-4 in 10 innings. Jose Berríos, a guy who used to struggle on the road, 6 2/3 innings pitched, 4 hits. Really good performance from him. No runs allowed. And the Blue Jays, who are in like a playoff position, which blew my mind when I was looking at that the other day. I've lost more money banking on this core of the Toronto Blue Jays to be a playoff team and World Series contender over the last 3 years than maybe any other team that I bet on in sports. I'm not getting okie-doked again. I'm not falling for this. I'm not backing Toronto. I do not trust this team. I will not trust this team. Unless the price is really good, then I might trust the team again. We'll see how it goes. By the way, did you know EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors? Ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. There's no usage fees, no minimums. You can earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. All you have to do is sign up today at edgeboost.bet with the promo code CASH, deposit $25, and EdgeBoost will match the deposit. Just go to edgeboost.bet. That's where we stand with Major League Baseball. We'll dive into it more throughout the program, but coming up next, coming off the Florida Panthers taking a 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Final, I'll ask Arthur DeCesar from the Superbook, are the Oilers dead? That's next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, thrilled to be with you tonight here on the program where the Florida Panthers, the big story of the night, took a 2-1 series lead in the Stanley Cup Final, and we have adjustments in all the betting markets all over the place to help us understand what's on the move, why it's moving, and if there's anything that's worth betting. Going to bring in our guy Arthur DeCesar from over at the Westgate Superbook, who joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Arthur, thanks as always for doing this, man. Pumped to chat. Just your overall thoughts on what you witnessed tonight, an absolute butt-whipping by the Florida Panthers coming back to Sunrise, taking that one to 6-1, knocking Skinner out of the game. Just as a hockey fan, what'd you think of that?
There's a lot to unpack after this game. I think if you just look at it, we love what we saw in the first two games. Exciting. They both go to overtime. One goes to double overtime. And then I think the price was pretty telling on this game three. You know, Florida got to as high as minus 146 for us. Now, we saw some Edmonton buyback because we're dealing a 10-cent line. So we saw the Edmonton buyback on the plus price. But I think the line told you kind of what was going to happen tonight. Now, did I expect Skinner to get pulled? Did I expect 140 penalty minutes? No. But if Edmonton, I said before the series, if Skinner was going to play like Dominic Hasek, they were going to win. well, if Edmonton's only going to worry about fighting, they're not going to win this series. So they better regroup. They got 2 days off because, you know, the next game is Thursday. Edmonton better figure out, and game four is already open a little bit higher than game three open. We opened Florida minus 140. The adjusted series price is Florida minus 240. And I think both of those will go up, especially after what people saw tonight.
Yeah, I was one of the people who just took the plus price with Edmonton. I just thought it's a coin flip series. Didn't think home ice mattered all that much. And it was an opportunity to get a team that was super aggressive at home. Offense was flying. And the script was flipped here because Florida was all over the place. They were uber aggressive. If you were Chris Knobloch right now, after that performance with Stuart Skinner, would you start him in game four or would you go to Picard as the goalie?
That's a crazy, crazy good question here. And I think you have to stick with Skinner. I think he got here even though, you know, Calvin is 6-0 and he obviously was pulled because he got hurt and then Skinner got hot. But I think maybe a short leash with Skinner, kind of like Dallas had with Ottinger. Like, you just have to be short here because another game could get away. And as almost evenly matched as I think the two teams are, if Florida goes up 3-1, I just don't think Edmonton will come back. Even though it's kind of like last year when they were up 3-0 and Edmonton forced the game seven, Edmonton's goaltending and defense always is their Achilles heel.
Man, I feel for Canada. I need Edmonton. I'm at a point where I'm willing to be wrong. I thought Florida would win the series, Arthur, but I want Edmonton to win the cup. I want Canada to get their cup. It's been since 93 in the Canadians. It's absurd how much they care about hockey and that they haven't won a cup since then. It doesn't make any sense to me. Arthur DeCesar with us from the Westgate Superbook, breaking down the Stanley Cup final. We'll also get his thoughts as far as game three in the NBA finals as well. But the Conn Smythe odds, massive shift today where I'm sure you're like most books, you take them down during the game. I'm not sure if they're up yet, but I was seeing around the country where we have a new favorite right now over at DraftKings. They have Sam Bennett plus 175 as your favorite. He's got four goals in the series. Connor McDavid's plus 250. Oilers are plus 215 to win the series on the series price. If you think they're going to win, doesn't it feel like Connor McDavid plus 250 should be the bet? What do you think of the major movement as far as the Conn Smythe goes?
Well, obviously, three games in for Bennett to have four goals, it makes sense. You're right. It's kind of like we do this every year with the Super Bowl. The quarterback will be like plus 110, and you're getting the team who he's on at even money, like Patrick Mahomes. So sometimes it's like, yeah, if you like the Oilers, McDavid's going to win. Even though Draisaitl's been great, and obviously he's scored three goals himself, McDavid yet to score. He's got a bunch of assists, but man, I don't know. I just don't see. And I got to be fair. I thought Edmonton was going to win in seven. This feels like this could be a short series here if Edmonton does not regroup and really play a great game four, because they were really good. It was 2-1, and then they scored right away, Florida, and make it 3-1, and then it really got out of control here. So Knobloch's got a couple of days to really get his boys back in line.
Yeah, how many games do you think it goes? Five games is plus 250, six games plus $1.50, seven games plus 165. Before tonight, I thought we were going seven. I'm not so sure about that anymore, Arthur. How many games do you say?
Yeah, I'm not so sure anymore. The way it looks, you never want to overreact after one game. You just don't. It feels like Florida could close this out in five. Oh. I mean, it just really does. And I'm with you. Like I said, I had Edmonton at seven. I thought it was going to be a seven-game series. I thought we'd have a classic. We had a classic first two games. Obviously, we get the game three stinker. But, you know, listen, if Edmonton comes out early and scores a goal in game four and quiets that Florida crowd, they can get it back to Edmonton 2-2. But right now, I would put my money on five. I think Florida's going to steamroll.
Yeah, they look hot, man. They look – and they're super deep. And then the X factor is the goal play, right? Because Bobrovsky's been there, done that, steps up in the postseason. And right now for Edmonton, you've got a leaky net. Now, the question is, how many games do you see the NBA Finals going? Because game one, Indiana steals that one. And the talk around these circles are, oh, man, the Pacers going to make it a series. Thunder come back game two, make a statement, remind us of where they are from just an offensive, defensive perspective, where they're on a different level than just about everyone in the NBA this year. We've got game three coming up on Wednesday. Right now, Thunder laying 5.5. That total's 228.5. Anything jump out to you there with the spread and the total?
Well, I think let's attack the series first. After game one, we saw incredible money come in on Indiana.
Really?
We reopened. Yeah, we reopened OKC minus 360. So the take back on Indiana was plus $3. We saw money there. We saw money at plus 290. And we saw money at plus 280. We even got as low as plus 270. There was no bite there. And then obviously after OKC wins, OKC's back up to a 550 favorite. So it's flipped, but we need OKC in the series. We needed them, as I told you, in the future book because Indiana is a loser. OKC is an incredible six-figure winner for us, really nice winner for us. Game three is interesting. We had the Thunder 5.5, and we saw some Pacer money. We're sitting five. We took some sharp money on the Pacers at 5.5, so it's moved us to five. Our total was 227.5 on an opener, has only creeped up half a point to 228. So I think it's interesting that we have not seen any bite yet on the Thunder money line, minus 215, or that five. Not a lot of fives out there. We might be the only five out there. I think, though, when we get to this game three, you're going to see the Thunder money line in all parlays. So Wednesday is going to be huge with the Thunder kind of carrying the day with money line parlays. I think the public will come in and bet that.
Yeah, I'm already trying to find ways to pair Thunder money line with whoever the Colorado Rockies are playing on the money line with maybe one other thing and see if we can work out a plus price there. Something nice and juicy. Arthur DeCesar's with us, Westgate Superbook, breaking down everything going on in sports. It's an awesome time of year. Real quick, just want to get your thoughts. What was the weekend like over there at the Westgate with Alcaraz and the comeback win over Sinner in the French Open? What was the action like on the French Open?
So when you look at the tennis majors, Wimbledon and US Open are usually the ones that carry the day as far as those majors go. French and Australian, you don't get as much love, a little bit more overnight because obviously the time change, some matches start really early or really late, and you don't get a lot of action. But this being the best two players in the world, no doubt about it, we were dealing a minus 105 line on either side, whereas some books had, you know, either Alcaraz or Sinner minus 115. So we basically had a pick 'em price, which drove really good action on the match. We needed Sinner in the futures. Alcaraz was a small loser for us. But overall, it was really nice to see this type of betting handle on these tennis, you know, big time matches. And I think with these two guys moving forward, you know, one's 22, one's 23 years old. If they play basically for the next 6 to 8 years and match up in all these finals, I think you're going to draw a lot more interest to these finals because I think people after that classic are going to start to say, oh, Wimbledon, are we going to get them in the final? All that type of stuff. So it's really good for the sport.
I agree. I think it's awesome. I think it's going to get way more casuals like me who don't normally care about tennis to watch these two duke it out, especially in the big event. I mean, you look at the horse racing over the weekend, Sovereignty Journalism felt like that was a bit of a rivalry for a little bit there. Every sport needs a good rivalry going back Bird and Magic, whoever it may be. It's good for the sport and it's good for the sports books. He's Arthur DeCesar. He joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow over on X at ArtDice21 and go visit him over at the Superbook. Thanks as always for doing this, man. We'll chat again next week.
Dustin, you're the best, man. We'll chat soon.
Man, I hope he's wrong about the hockey. I think he's right about the hockey. I hope he's wrong because I thought games one and two were as good a drama as we've had to start like any series in a very long time. I was hoping it was going to roll into game three. Unfortunately, Florida goes up 2-1, 6-1 win over Cashes, minus 142 on the Panthers, all wins. What winners can we find when it comes to the NBA Finals in game three? I have a player prop on the Pacers back at home that I love. That's coming up on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Welcome back into the show. Of course, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM, Channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course, the VSiN Watch app. Tune in any which way. Also, all the shows available wherever you get your podcasts following their airing. So check us out. Take us with you on the go. Do it in the bathroom, in the car, in the kitchen, wherever you may be. It feels like a Dr. Seuss book in here. We got a lot going on here in sports, including College World Series odds have been released. The field is set. Murray State beats Duke earlier today. They advance going to Omaha, the College World Series, where a lot of different leagues are represented. And Circa, based on what I could tell in my little appy poo here, they have released their odds to win the College World Series. And of course, catch the shows later this week where we've got Stormy and JVT on Money Moves. We've got the guys that follow the money, Mitch and Paul, heading out to Omaha with, of course, Circa owner Derek Stevens, where the jello shots will be flowing and the baseball will be growing. I needed something to rhyme with that. I think it works. We're growing the game. I think that's a thing college baseball people say. Just roll with me, people. We're doing that here. But it's going to be awesome. I've been to a College World Series before. I went in 2013. I'm going to see if I can pull the names off the top of my head that were there, because I think that's the cool part about this event. One, you're in Omaha and it's a smaller town. It's got an awesome downtown with cool bars and restaurants, but you have an opportunity to see the stars of the future at a pretty good price. The baseball is usually really exciting. The stadium's beautiful. I went a couple years into it being built. I don't know what it's called now. I think it's named after a bank. Everything's named after a bank these days. I'm sure there's some great conspiracy that you can tweet me about at Dustin Sweetelson, or why the banks own every baseball stadium and arena in sports. But it's a bucket list event. I think of the events that I got to go to that, there's still a few I haven't been to. Daytona 500 I want to go to. I want to go to the Masters. There's a few like that. I don't want to go to a Super Bowl. Is that crazy? It feels like the worst time ever. I think football games in person stink because you can't get camera angles that you can get at home. Obviously, getting in and out of the stadium is a pain, but the Super Bowl sounds like the worst event to go to. I think College World Series, if you just like baseball and you want to get close to the action, I think it's can't miss. Also, probably the best steak I've ever eaten in my life at the Drover in Omaha. No free ads, but if the people of the Drover are listening, I will take free steak because I will literally fly to your restaurant from Vegas on a weekend to just eat your steak. It was that good. I went for dinner one night and I went back for lunch 2 days later and I made them give me the dinner menu at noon for lunch where I ate like a 60-ounce steak. It was incredible. Anyway, I digress. Back to the actual betting. I know that's what you're here for, but if there's an opportunity to talk about food, I'm going to do it. We've got odds to win the College World Series. They're not in order here, so I'm just going to kind of bounce around, see if I can get them in the right order from shortest to longest. LSU, plus 199 to win it all. They've been through this time and time again. When I went in 2013, they were there with a guy named Aaron Nola on the hill. They were locked and loaded, tons of major leaguers. That's just the one name that jumps out to me. Next up on the board, I'm seeing Arkansas, plus 225. That was wild yesterday. The Razorbacks just decimated defending champion Tennessee. Two SEC schools who know each other well. And the Razorbacks were up 3-1, a pass ball with bases loaded and two out in the fourth inning, I believe. And the floodgates just opened and it became a laugher for the rest of the game. And Arkansas, Dave Van Horn, who's a legend in college baseball, a chance to win a College World Series. He's plus 225. This could be his best chance to get there and get the job done. He went with Nebraska a couple times. He's got a ton of wins. This could be awesome if he could somehow win a ring here. So they're plus 225. Who is next? Looks like Oregon State plus 545. Pat Casey, legendary coach there for a while. The Beavers are always in the mix. They've got an infielder who's going to be a top 15 pick, probably the first infielder from the collegiate ranks taken in the draft coming up. And they're a powerhouse. When I saw them in 2013, future New York Met, current Dodger, Michael Conforto was their best player. And I believe he was the best player in the country at the time. Absolutely loaded team. And they're used to doing this. They're used to being here. They're not going to be fazed by all the pomp and circumstance that goes into a College World Series. And Coastal Carolina is next on the board at plus 6225. Remember, they were the story in 2016. Little team that could from the Myrtle Beach area. Their head coach has since retired, but his former catcher and bench coach, who was on that national championship team back in 16, he's taken over. And they're 625 to win the World Series. I kind of like the vibes coming out there. They were the first team to punch their ticket in the Super Regionals. They're well-rested. They've watched everyone else play. They'll be locked and loaded and ready to go. I'm excited to see Coastal Carolina, where I can't remember. Can someone help me out here? What was the shtick with Coastal Carolina when they won the title? I don't remember what it was, but they did something when they won back in 16. Rolling through these bets here, or these odds here, as far as the College World Series goes, it's cashing out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's see, we left off at 625. That leads us to UCLA. UCLA 10-1 to win it all. Obviously a powerhouse school, part of the Big Ten now. It's weird saying that. I feel like it's Pac-12, but they're consistently going to College World Series. Guys like Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer, a long list of guys. When I saw them in 2013, they had an ace named Adam Plutko, who was unhittable. Think he ended up in the Cleveland organization. Didn't do much in the pros, but he was amazing in college. Now we're going to get into some of the long shots, as that's 10-1 with UCLA. Our next one after that would be Arizona, 18-1. Arizona, surprising team. Why? They knocked off North Carolina. I don't know what's going on. North Carolina just can't get it done when it comes to this. They've never won a title in baseball, the state of North Carolina. And back in 13, when I went, I saw Trey Turner and I saw Carlos Rodon play for NC State. And that team didn't get it done. And the North Carolina Tar Heels didn't get it done. That's why Arizona, who's been through this before, they end up going, they're a long shot, 18-1 this year to win the whole thing in Omaha. And that leads us to from 18-1 to 29-1 in Louisville. And Louisville is a good team. Louisville is, again, another team that's consistently in the mix. I don't know if I saw them. No, I did see them in person. I think Adam Engel went there and Chad Green, who ended up on the Yankees and the Blue Jays. So that's another blue blood with baseball, where I know they're red, but you get my point. They're always in the mix when it comes to the College World Series. And then after them, they're 29-1, is your longest shot on the board. Murray State, 40-1. So the little engine that could from the small conference, they're going to the College World Series. I think it's an awesome story. They took down Duke today to win their series in the Super Regional. And as far as Murray State goes, I don't know anyone who played baseball there. I'm sorry. I know Chris Hatcher used to be the head football coach of Valdosta State, was the football coach there. I know John Morant went there. I know Steve Proms, the coach there, was the coach there. They went to Iowa State. Now he's back to being the coach there, I believe. And I have now run out of Murray State facts. Houston Nutt might have coached there at one point in FCS on his way up. But that's where it ends with as far as the Racers go. And I just think this is worth pointing out, because for a lot of the college baseball season, it was dominated mostly by the SEC and ACC. The expectations was they were going to jam as many of their schools into this thing at the end. And in the end, it ends up being pretty balanced. Two from the SEC, one from the ACC, one from the Big 12, one from the Big 10, one from the Missouri Valley, one Sun Belt, and one independent. I mean, NIL's messed a lot of things up when it comes to college sports. Apparently, it hasn't hit baseball, because all these leagues well represented. We have a good variety, a good mix. It should be a bunch of different fan bases coming together. And obviously, go hang out with the VSiN crew, because they're going to be doing jello shots. Jonathan Von Tobel told me off the air, I'm not supposed to share this with you, but on top of jello shots, he's willing to do body shots. You just have to ask him. He'll take his shirt off. You can do the shot out of his belly button. He's all for it. Trust me, he'll be fine. Just tell him I sent you. He'll understand. But JVT will do the body shots, or you just get some jello shots. Either way, it'll be a good time out there in Omaha and eat the steak at the Drover. I cannot emphasize that enough. I'm hoping we get an underdog story, though, because we've seen underdogs in the past when it comes to Omaha and the College World Series. 08 Fresno State, surprise team, went on to win the whole thing. Small schools like Cal State Fullerton at one point had their day in the sport. I'm hoping we have a live one this year. I don't know if it's Murray State, but maybe Louisville at that price, 29-1. Maybe there's a team that's a little bit longer. Even Coastal, and it's not really a crazy number at plus 625, but I'd like to see someone we're not expecting end up win this thing. That's what I'm always rooting for when it comes to sports. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Want to tell you about Profit X. The NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final are both here, and Profit X is offering the best odds all playoffs long. Profit X is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, and it's the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. All you have to do is download ProfitX today with the code VSiN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. That's all you have to do. ProfitX, using the promo code VSiN, up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Back to you. A lot to get to tonight, including the NBA Finals. I'll give you that player prop. He's coming home. He's coming home. And I think he's worth a play based on his player prop. That's next on Cashing Out.